Father, I just ask you this morning that you help me to share your word in a way that will be applicable to people's lives. Father, I pray that people will not see Yanni standing here, but they will truly see your son Jesus. Father, it's not about me. It's not about any one of us. It's all about your son. And I pray, Lord, that people's hearts will really be open today to be changed by your truth, the truth of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great morning to be here. And the reason why I say that is because we're starting a brand new sermon series. A sermon series that is entitled, Follow Me. Follow Me. So a sermon series is where we take a number of Sundays and we explore a specific topic or a specific part of Scripture. So this morning's first part is entitled, An Invitation. An Invitation. And I want to start with asking you a question. What is the prerequisite for following Jesus? What is the prerequisite for following Jesus? What do you need to be in order to follow Christ? A sinner? You need to be a sinner before you can follow Christ. You need to be an unbeliever before you follow Christ. Being an unbeliever does not disqualify you from following Christ. Have you ever thought about this? Every single person that followed Jesus in the first century initially never thought he was the Son of God. Nobody who followed Jesus in the first century at the beginning thought he was the Son of God. They were all unbelievers in regard to that. And Jesus' message was very simple. It was, follow me and you will change. Not change and then follow me. Big difference. So if you're here today and you're not sure about this whole Bible Jesus thing, welcome to the club. We were all there once. And some of us are right there right now. And today we're going to look at a piece of Bible narrative which I really love. It's a story that we find every stage and every aspect of what it means to follow Jesus. So those of you who are not familiar with the New Testament, there are four accounts of the life of Jesus. There's four Gospels. We have Matthew, who was an eyewitness to everything that happened. We have Mark, who spent time with Peter. So he actually gives us Peter's account of the life of Jesus. We then have Luke, who investigated all the eyewitnesses surrounding Jesus' life and put an account together for us. And then we have John. He was also an eyewitness. So some of the stories in Jesus' life are shared from different angles. The same story shared from different angles. Now let me give you an example of what I mean. Say you are more focused on technology and you want to describe what's happening here today. You say, I came to church and Yanni was speaking from a cordless mic. Wasn't that amazing? And then there were these speakers up here standing on these stands that projected his voice further than he could probably do it naturally. And there was this amazing machine up here that put the words on the screen. Somebody else might say the story from a fashion point of view. There's Yanni, dressed very cool. And he passed that down to his son. They both dressed so well. He was wearing a fancy jacket. He was wearing black trousers and shoes, and he looked spiffing. And actually, if I looked around the crowd, everybody was well-dressed. Then there might be somebody who speaks the story of today from a perspective of people. Wow. There were some people of all shapes and sizes. They were young and they were old. They were black and white and colored from every nation. And they gathered in front of Yanni to hear a message. So what I'm trying to explain to you is it's the same story, but from a different perspective. So what happens in our story today is Matthew tells it. Matthew tells it and Luke tells it. Now, Matthew was Jewish, so he was speaking to a Jewish audience. And his story is like a brief synopsis. It's like a shortened version, which left me, and it may have left you, with an unrealistic view of what it means to follow Christ. So I want to read Matthew's version first. And as I said, to be honest, when I first read this, I was kind of freaked out. It left me thinking, how can you do that? How can you possibly do that? And maybe this is the approach that you've been given when it comes to following Christ. So here's Matthew's account. Remember, written to Jewish people who already had big faith. Jewish people who did not need a lot of detail when it came to what God could do. Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. What? What? You're busy walking, working, fishing. A guy walks up to you and says, "Follow me." So you stop working and you walk into the sunset with him. To me, that doesn't make too much sense. But wait, it gets worse. Verse 21. A little further up the shore, he saw two brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Huh? That doesn't seem very spiritual. That seems irresponsible to me. "Hey, Dad, we're off with the guy with the long hair and the sandals. Good luck with the family business. I hope it all goes well for you. In fact, say goodbye to Mom because we don't even have time to say goodbye." It seems very extreme to drop everything and follow Christ. "Sure, I'll follow you, Christ, but do I really have to drop everything? Can I finish school?" Does following Christ mean that you drop everything and just follow? Does following Jesus mean you drop everything and just follow? Yes? No? Maybe? Well, the good news is this is not the whole story. This is what happened. Matthew's account is right, but it's not all that happened. So Luke comes along. And Luke is writing to people like you and me, Gentiles, people who need a little bit more information before they say goodbye to the family business and Mom and Dad. So Luke gives his detail of the same story. And remember, at the beginning of Luke, he says, "I investigated all these things for you so I can give you an account of what happened." He researched it and through the people that he interviewed. So let's look at Luke's version of the story. The story takes place at the Sea of Galilee. And today, Kat's visited, and I know that some of you have been to Israel. You can actually go to the Sea of Galilee. It's an actual place. It's an actual place that Jesus walked and talked and taught from. I want to show you a couple of pictures. So on the right-hand side, you see it's actually a very big body of water, shaped almost like a tear. On the top picture, you can almost see, it's a bit cloudy, but you can actually see across the horizon. I mean, you can't see land, but that's how big it is. It's really big. And this boat down here, these are boats that you can get on today. They're styled and fashioned exactly the same as they were back in first century days. That's an old fishing boat. You can go on these fishing boats on tours. You pay tourist prices for the privilege. But let's go to Luke's version. Luke 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, Matthew, you left that bit out. Standing by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, same place, just different name. And people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Ah, okay. So there's something more going on here. Jesus is preaching by the water's edge. Now, this is really important. Following Jesus always begins with information. Following Jesus always begins with listening. Following Jesus does not begin with leave your world behind, leave your lifestyle behind and follow. It always begins with information. Now, if you are part of a church or part of a religion or part of a brand of Christianity that says, don't ask questions, just believe, I suggest you run away. I suggest you run away. Because real faith and real Christianity is built on truth. It's built on listening. It's built on learning. It's not just built on faith. And it's definitely not built on blind faith. So if someone says to you, you just need to believe and don't ask questions, I wouldn't follow them. Jesus introduces faith in himself and his heavenly Father through preaching, through teaching, through listening, through learning. So there Jesus is, standing on the edge of the water. The crowds are gathering around. And you can just imagine the scene. As the crowds are coming towards Jesus, they're kind of pushing against him. He's probably going into the water. Maybe his feet are wet. Because remember, there's no stage here. There's no elevated pulpit. There's no crowd control. So, Luke 5, verse 2. He saw at the water's edge two boats, that's Jesus looking, left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Let me just stop here and explain something else. After a night's fishing, the fishermen would empty their nets of anything that they had caught. They would then take their nets and they would put them on posts, sticks, and they would dry out their nets, and they would go and they would mend things, and they would pull out any debris that was caught in the nets. They would then roll up the nets and they would put them away. They would store them for the next round of fishing. So verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little bit from the shore. So let me explain again. Crowds pushing Jesus, into the water, he sees two boats, he says to Peter, put me out into the boat so you can get a bit of distance from the crowd. So Jesus says, well, what's important to remember is that Peter's working on his nets, but he's listening. You know, he's working, but listening. Listening and working, because there's a guy speaking. And then Jesus turns to him and says, Peter, can I inconvenience you? I know you're working on your nets, but can I borrow your boat? I need to get some distance from the crowd. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Because faith comes by hearing. Following Jesus begins with information. Faith is built around content, truth, information, getting your questions answered. It always begins there. Verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, now Jesus could have said anything. He could have said, hey Pete, did you like my sermon? You did? Well then leave your family and come and follow me. At least he had information by then. In Matthew's account, he basically said, let's go. And he left. But Jesus is not asking him to leave everything and just follow. Jesus instead says this, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now this is very significant. He asked Peter to do something that he had done 1,000 times before. But he says to Peter, I want you to do it differently. There are two problems with what Jesus is asking Peter to do. The first one is like, Jesus, I'm not sure if you're paying attention, but we have just been cleaning our nets. We've cleaned them, we've dried them. And this is not some casual endeavor. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to clean up after fishing. Let me put it in perspective. I know some of you mountain bike. Imagine you go on a muddy mountain bike race. Okay, you get home, you spray your bike down to wash it of all the mud. You then go and you oil your gears and your moving parts. You then take off your kit and you clean your kit. You go jump in the shower, you wash yourself, you wash your hair. You sit down, you have a meal, you put your feet up, and your friend knocks on the door and says, "Hey, let's go mountain biking." That's what he was asking Peter to do. "Hey, Peter, let's go fishing." And Simon Peter is respectful. You see, because Jesus is a rabbi. He's a teacher. And you must understand, there were a lot of teachers at this time going around. They were everywhere. But granted, this guy was a good one. Jesus, this guy, was a good teacher. But a rabbi nonetheless. So diplomatically, Peter answers in verse 5. Simon answered, "Master." Not Lord, not God, not Messiah, but Master. "Master, there's a bunch of you masters." But being respectful, he says, "We've worked hard." That's fishing. They were fishing. "We have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." You have to remember, back in those days, fishermen fished at night. Let me explain why. Remember, there was that big picture of the Sea of Galilee. It's a sea, very deep body of water. So what happens is, when the sun goes down, the water starts to cool. So the warmer water is at the top of the surface of the water. So the fish come up. So if you're fishing with nets, you need to fish when they are in reach at night. As the morning sun comes up and starts to heat the water, the fish go lower. A little bit of fishing knowledge for you. So Peter and the other fishermen always fished at night with nets. This was not deep sea fishing. Peter had been fishing when he was supposed to be fishing and caught nothing. So they had dried and cleaned their nets and they were about to go home. And Jesus says, "Peter, let's go fishing." Let's go fishing when you're not supposed to go fishing. Jesus is saying, "I want you to do something that you've done 1,000 times before, but I want you to do something different. And you may not know how it's going to work out. And it may sound a little bit crazy to go fishing during the day, but I want you to do it my way. I want you to do it my way. I'm not asking you to leave your family business. I'm not asking you to leave your family. I'm just asking you to do something where you don't know what the result will be." What do you think Peter was thinking? This guy is clearly a carpenter. He knows nothing about fishing. "Yes, Jesus, that was a great sermon, but fishing? I don't think you know much. Jesus, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a big crowd that has gathered around you. They're all looking at me, and when this crowd sees me, a fisherman, a local fisherman on this beach, going out to fish in the middle of the day, they're going to think I'm crazy." Let me ask you, what was at stake here? His reputation? But more than that, whether Peter was willing to trust Jesus or not. That's why this next part is so awesome. "But because you say so." Not because I think this is going to work out. Not because this is going to help my reputation. So because you say so, I'm just going to repeat that. Not because I think it's going to work out or help my reputation or that we're going to catch anything or it's a good use of my time or that it's a story that I'm going to tell. But because I've listened, because I've loaned out my boat, and because I have just enough respect for you, and I probably wouldn't do this for anybody else, but I've seen you and I've heard you, so I have some respect for you. But because you say so, next slide. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now here is the part that I really appreciate. Imagine what hung in the balance of Peter's decision on this at this moment to go fishing. The reason that I know Peter today and the reason that we all know Peter today is because in that moment he decided, it's not about me. It's not about me. I'm going to trust this guy with something that I'm not even sure about. I'm going to do something that I've done 1,000 times before, but I'm going to do it differently. And maybe you are there today. Maybe there's an internal nudging in your inner being. And like Peter, you have no idea how this is going to turn out. You have no idea what hangs in the balance. Imagine Jesus could have stood up and pulled out his iPad and said, Peter, let me show you. Let me show you. I'm going to go to Google Images of the future and I'm going to show you something. Have, look, Peter, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This, Peter, is St. Peter's Basilica. And Peter, you are St. Peter. This is your tomb. You are the Apostle Peter. This is for you. Let's have a look inside. Peter, come have a look inside. Look inside. It's beautiful. It's amazing. This bad boy took 118 years to build. This is the biggest church ever built in human history. This church is to honor you. Yeah, that's some information for you. That's just Bernini's Baldacchino or whatever, 10 stories high. Inside St. Peter's Basilica, 50 tons of brass, that thing there. The dome above is 452 feet above, the largest dome ever built. So Peter says, Jesus says, but have you ever seen anything like that before? It's named in honor of you, Peter. Peter, will you take me fishing? Sure, Jesus, of course I'll take you fishing. In fact, you can have my boat and you can have my nets. But you see, Peter, just like you and just like me, has no idea what hangs in the balance of a single decision in your life. To do something that you're not sure how it's going to work out. There's no guaranteed plan. And Jesus is asking you to do something that goes against your common knowledge. And the reason is because he says so. Simply because Jesus says, would you do it? Would you do it? Will you do it in your own life? Just because Jesus says. Verse 6. When they had done so, not when they believed so, not when they thought so, not when they intended to, not when they had even prayed about it, but when they had done so, because doing is what makes the difference. Doing. Verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in their boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, what do you think he did? Did he say, woohoo, Dad, we don't have to fish for another month? That would have been the natural reaction, to get blown away by two boats brimming, sinking with fish, when the night before they had caught nothing. The natural reaction is to focus on the fish. But in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, now this is amazing, because in this moment, it's no longer about the fish, and it's not about the fishing. Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. Not master, not rabbi, not teacher, but Lord. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. It is important that you don't miss what's happening here. In this moment, for the very first time, Peter recognizes who Jesus is. In this moment, he recognizes who he is. It's Lord and sinful man. This is the beginning of Peter's relationship with Jesus. Until now, you have to understand this, until now he's been shoulder to shoulder, eyeball to eyeball with the Savior of the world, but he never recognized it. And many of you are here today. God is all around you. God is in your life. God's graces abound. But you don't recognize it. So suddenly, it was not until Peter took that first step of practical faith, suddenly his eyes were open, his heart was open, and he experienced something that he had never experienced before. I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm in the presence of the Lord. And Jesus never said to Peter, "Oh, I'm so glad that you figured that out." No. Because he was about to say something way more significant than that. He was about to say, Peter, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid," because they're freaking out now, man. They are freaking out. "Don't be afraid. From now on," and I want to stop there. "From now on," in other words, "I have a future for you. There's something for you. And I could not tell you what it is until you took that first step of faith and you're willing to do something different from what you've done 1,000 times before. And in doing so, your little baby, tiny faith intersected with the faithfulness of Jesus. And now you know who I am. And now you know who you are. And you know you can trust me when I say I have a future for you." But it all hung in the balance with a single decision to follow Christ. From now on, it goes on the scripture, from now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled up their nets, so they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. And you would have too. And I would have too. Because, not because he said, "Leave everything and follow me," but because they listened and they inconvenienced themselves to go fishing and they took a single step to allow God's faithfulness to intertwine with him. Intertwine because of that act of obedience by Peter. It was only then that they were ready to leave their nets and follow him. To which I actually want to say to Matthew, if you had told me that in your story would have made much more sense. So this passage of scripture means a whole lot to me personally. And also, it highlights the 4 stages of following Jesus. 4 stages that every single one of us find ourselves in. The first one is, and some of you are simply at the sit and listen stage. Sit and listen. The fact that you are here today, whether you realize it or not, means that you have made the first step to following Christ. Because following Christ begins with content. It begins with information. So the best thing you need to do is come back here next week or place yourself in an environment where you can get information to make the right decision. Number 2, the second stage. Others of you may be in the loaning your boat stage of following Christ. Now here it becomes a bit of an inconvenience to loan out your boat. You know, you need to get out of your comfort zones. We stand up here week after week saying, "Please come and do our encounter courses. Please, we're doing SOS, School of the Supernatural. Please come and do our foundations. Please, we're doing Bible school." But week after week, you just think, "That's an inconvenience for me. Some of you need to start reading the Bible because it's inconvenient for you to read the Bible. But it's not going to cost you anything. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to quit smoking. You don't have to break up with anybody. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to give any money away. It's just a slight inconvenience to start reading the Bible. It's time to respond to that invitation to loan out your boat. No one's going to steal it. No one's going to take it. And no one's going to give it away. Number three, some of you are going fishing stage. So that's the stage you're at of following. And here it gets real exciting. It gets real exciting because your Heavenly Father wants you to do something different to how you've done it before. And most likely it's going to be something in your relationships, in your profession or your career, or your finances. So maybe relationships at home, someone with the opposite sex, profession, maybe at work, how you operate at work, how you spend your money. And you've been coming here for a while. And sometimes, every now and again, when you're quiet before the Lord, there is a stirring inside you. And the stirring is saying, I need to stop. I need to begin. And there's a change that you need to make. It's almost like your conscience is tuning into something much bigger than yourself. Perhaps it's the voice of the Holy Spirit that believers talk about. But let me tell you, you have no idea what hangs in the balance of that one decision. The decision to handle your relationships in a different way, to stop sleeping with your boyfriend, to ask that girl for a coffee date, to ask her to get married to you, to change the way that you conduct business, to maybe be more generous with your finances. God is inviting you to go fishing with Him this morning, and you have no idea what hangs in the balance. And I don't need to tell you what area of life I'm speaking at today. You know He's been talking to you. And it's going to be scary for some of you. But Jesus is inviting you this morning. Follow me. Follow me. The last one. Sorry, I'm getting tangled up in my cord here. Getting excited. The last one. This is the leaving your nets stage of following Christ. You're at a point where you say, okay, God, I know. My whole life is yours. Everything I own and everything I don't own. My future, my family, my kids, my relationships, my dreams, my desires, my aspirations, my goals. Everything is yours. I want to submit every area of my life to your will and not mine. All of us find ourselves in one of these stages of following Christ. And I'm going to ask this morning that you stand with me. I'm going to ask you to also just close your eyes and focus on the Lord. My brothers and sisters, I don't know where you find yourself today, but God does. The God that created you in your mother's womb, knitted every part of you together. And I believe He has a question for you, for all of us today. Are you willing to respond to His invitation? Are you willing to take the next step? You do not want to spend the rest of your life wondering what God may have done if you had said yes. You don't want to spend another season in your life going round in circles because of your unwillingness to say yes to something out of the ordinary that God is asking you to do His way. Whatever your next step is, my brothers and sisters, you need to take it. And if you do, you will be glad that you did. And if you don't, you'll wish that you had. But even wishing that you had, you will never know what God may have done in you, or done in your family, or done through your kids, what God may have done in your career or your finances. So whatever your next step is in following Jesus, take it. You will never, ever, ever, ever regret following Christ. Never. Thank you, Father, for preserving your beautiful scriptures in the Bible. These stories that are so rich with meaning and lessons and stories, but not stories made up, stories of what happened. And I thank you, Father God, today. I know that there's every single one of us, because we are your workmanship. You are doing a work in us. We are not perfect. Each one of us falls short of the glory of God. And there is a next step for every single one of us. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom to know what to do. Thank you, Lord, for the discernment of deciding which step is from the Lord and which is not. Thank you, Lord, for the courage and the boldness to go somewhere where we have not gone before. Lord, we honor you. We treasure you, Lord. You have a future and a plan for every one of us. And I'm going to give an opportunity for people to respond today, because I know that there's many steps in many people's lives and you have not had the boldness to take it. But this morning, Jesus wants to come and encourage you personally, and we want to pray with you to help you take that next step. Otherwise, if nothing changes in your life, nothing's going to change. You need to be bold. So I invite you to come up here. Don't be afraid. Don't miss this opportunity. Lord Jesus, create in each one of us a desire to follow you more passionately. Not caring about our reputations as Peter didn't care about his, but to keep our eyes on you. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. Bless every mother as we go forth, in Jesus' name. Amen.